Come on.
Welcome to Lifeblood REI and welcome our guest, the strong and powerful Spencer Hillegas. Spencer, Rhett, welcome.
George, really a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Excited to have you on. Spencer is the CEO of Madison Investing. They are a real estate investing and cash flow investor. They're vetted real estate syndicators for the passive investor. Again, excited to have you on. Spencer, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. So I live in Silicon Valley. I'm actually on this cool little island of Alameda in the Bay Area. So these days, all I do is basically try to be a great dad, still try to, you know, feel like I play in metal bands, even though I'm 40 or so. And of course, none of that is really the case. So these days are really on helping, you know, busy professionals and just folks in my network and quite a few folks now in our investing group that is Madison Investing, make better investments, you know, and diversify sources of income streams and all that good stuff. But it didn't start that way, George. I mean, I was in tech for 13 years. And so, you know, that was the cool thing to do versus growing up in a real estate business that was my dad's business in our household growing up. So I guess I got into real estate at the age of 6, technically. You know, I was working open houses and he was a broker for 30 years. So I saw that from the inside and really thought it was like the most uncool thing ever. So I decided it was way cooler to go into tech companies. Didn't know it was going to be a 13-year journey. And that journey actually concluded 5 months before the global pandemic hit, or the Black Swan event has hit and continues. And so we feel really good. I'm going to say we, it's my Jennifer Morimoto is my co-founder and my wife of the company. And we're in a spot right now where we feel very blessed, you know, to wake up every day and just help other folks, you know, make better decisions about this stuff and get exposed to other ways to build wealth, because it wasn't working for us necessarily in the tech grind when I was working 80 to 100 hours a week and betting on a big Silicon Valley lottery exit.
Yeah, well, I certainly appreciate that. So I am not from the Bay Area, Spencer. I'm from a small town in Minnesota, and we didn't have a real heavy metal scene. Is there a real big metal scene in the Bay Area?
You know, I think I have to be cautious with what I say here, probably, because I'm sure if you go to any city in the U.S. and you say we have better metal than the other, then you're going to get some opinions. But I think I think it's pretty damn good. But what do I know?
Fair enough. Well, it's at the very least active and healthy or unhealthy, depending on which one is more metal. I think we should just leave it alone, though. So, all right. So many cool things to talk about here. Certainly 13 years in tech. I'm sure there's a million stories there. Had you and your co-founder, your wife, had you always wanted to work together? And this finally was the opportunity, or how is that working?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate you taking it there. We had our own independent careers for the duration of that, you know, roughly 13 years. She's in a totally different side of the professional world in CPG. So she worked for a company that was, you know, you could actually see, touch, and hold the product. As a guy who was in software companies, you know, predominantly fintech companies, I was with, you know, Intuit and a bunch of other companies that were in the similar space doing not very glamorous focuses like accountancy and payroll, the stuff that make people's eyes glaze over. But I could never actually see, touch, and hold our products. So we were in our careers, totally different lines of work. And in that regard, now we are so benefited by going off and just developing, I guess, the language of business in a vacuum effectively over that time. You know, like we have our own kids, we have a family. I know you and I chatted about that a little bit, George, up front. But when you start working with a spouse, it's one of those topics where most people's ears perk up because they're like, how the heck do you guys, you know, do that? I do not claim to have the answer, because I think that's a unique setup for every single couple that's out there. But that said, it all started on a strong foundation that came from two epically long weekends. This is quite a few years ago now, where we sat down and got so nerdy and honest about what are the goals we want for our lives. We were both working a ton, had infants on at the time, and we were like, hey, what are we going to want to do in 10 years from now? How do we decouple ourselves from these day jobs? How do we actually go and build a future that we're more flexible for our kids? And there was tears and reconciliation and laughter and all those things in one, all in one cycled weekend. And I look forward to now. And now we have this really productive dynamic. It's not always just swimming, like going swimmingly well, rather. I mean, you still have to go and, you know, and have debate. But now we can do that constructively. And I think that that's been a really amazing dynamic to lean into between us.
Awesome. Well, I certainly appreciate that. My wife and I worked together for 6 years and really enjoyed it. And perhaps one day again in the future we will. But that certainly remains to be seen. So it sounds like your dad was in residential real estate. How did you land on syndication? Tell me about that.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I was doing things like open houses for him and being a gopher for his residential business back in the day. That left a taste in my mouth. You know, that was interesting. It was a simple lens, a really narrow one. And you could probably appreciate this, George, that like when you first start looking at real estate, I'd say the broader perception is that it means one type of thing, like one type of asset, one type of thing to most people, like maybe buying your home. And to me, now seeing the broad landscape of all these strategies, it's just been a journey. There's really no other way to say it. Some people might find that corny, but that's what it feels like. In tech, I mentioned 13-year career. A mentor of mine, this is back in about 2015, he nudged me to go into a company called Lending Home. It is like the biggest fix and flip lender in the country for, you know, single family flips. And I was tasked with growing and scaling their loan origination group. And we ended up doing $4 billion in loans. There's thousands of loans for these individual deals. I didn't know anything about those flips going in. I really didn't. You know, I mean, I think the team would agree with me because I had to win them over. So I dove in, saw so many of these real estate investors on the other side of these transactions from the lender's perspective, right? Inside this company and going, wow, they're doing really, really well for themselves. But I didn't want to become a flipper. You know, I had coworkers that were literally saying, hey man, go and flip a house on the weekend. And admittedly, George, I can barely swing a hammer. I mean, I use YouTube regularly just to do basic stuff around our house. And so I know how to framework. I know how to vet good deals. I know how to, you know, structure partnerships. So I surveyed the landscape of real estate investing. And I also was sitting there going like, well, what's more predictable? Because I'm kind of an operations and sales guy by trade. Like I was building and scaling those types of teams. And so it just made sense to start looking for like rental investment. That's kind of where we went first. We bought some rentals locally in California, paid too much money for them, of course. And then eventually realized, oh, maybe we can go buy stuff outside of California. Bought some turnkeys in the Midwest. Still a little bit more work than we wanted based on, kids still have to manage the manager for those rentals. So we built a residential portfolio. And then we eventually realized, you know, we're still busy. We have young kids. We still want to be able to have a life. And it was not as scalable as we were hoping for. So we really went and got super interested in the bigger apartment deals and adding value where we could. And I went into coaching programs and, you know, devoured 400 podcasts in an 18-month period, I think, and read 24 books and just really went. My bookshelf looked a lot like yours, George. I mean, I nerded out arguably too hard. And I think that education is key, as you can probably attest to, but I think action eventually had to happen. And so started going into coaching programs and asking, hey, can I help you out in your deal? Big apartment syndicator, you know, and eventually we went off and started crafting our own business plan based on that. So it was a real journey from here to there.
Nice. I appreciate that. It is it's always a fine balance between, okay, I've got enough information. There's never, you know, I could keep going with this, but we need to actually get started with it. So that's no easy feat, right? Because you can invest in apartment buildings all over the United States of America, probably all over the world. How did you start to really narrow that down and develop, for lack of a better term, what your parameters are for a good investment?
Gosh, that had to be one of the most time intensive and, in hindsight, key processes. You know, it was really tough, but education is so key, as we just mentioned. And for me, I dove in and actually paid for a coaching program. I believe in them. I think you really got to be thoughtful and thorough in terms of who you choose to work with and make sure you do your diligence on those folks, of course, make sure they have experience. I did that, found a coaching program that would allow me to really get a good foundation on some of the more nuanced analytical side, because I knew it in residential. I knew it really well there. Didn't know it in commercial. But I have a three-part framework because I'm a big framework guy. Have always used that in startups. The key takeaway I had from the startup world and that I apply every day to our business, George, is that, you know, great decisions are typically not made quickly unless you have like a framework and a clear set of criteria. And I mean, that principle sounds really basic, and I can't take credit for that. But in application to our business, the operator or the who is the number one of three, you know, that we look at, the market and the deal. And again, I didn't come up with that three-part framework. The sub-bullets for it, we have 70 of them in our business that we use to analyze and make sure that a deal is good. I have it in a nerdy spreadsheet because that's how I roll.
Sure.
and I basically look at the who, the where, and then all the other questions you would throw in that bucket, like the what, the why, the how, and all those things, you know? And so we put it through the ringer on that front. And I really have found the who is by far the most critical part of this stuff, you know, because we structure partnerships with folks that have that deep experience on things like construction. Like, can they go renovate a 200 unit apartment building? Because I'm not the guy who's going to fly out from the Bay Area and go do that, because not only do I not know anything about construction myself, but, you know, I think it's key to have those folks with the boots on the ground. And so that's how we approach it, is slowly, deliberately. We also will go out and just simply say, hey, can we invest some of our own money in one of their deals if they're already doing deals, before we decide to jump into partnerships with them. But that's kind of how we look at it, is on the where in terms of markets, because we talked about that three-part bullet framework. You got the who, the where, and then everything else. On the where, it's really just about jobs. You know, I'd say it's about job growth, job supply, populations, population growth, migration. You know, some of those markets that like we're really hot on right now would be more on the western side of the U.S. in terms of, like, you know, was literally in Boise 2 weeks ago, was in Phoenix, you know, 3 weeks ago, and Colorado Springs. I've spent tons of time in. You know, we've kind of focused on some of those markets more recently, but huge fan of some of the Sun Belt markets too. You know, I think if you look down south in Texas, you'll find, you know, Dallas. We've done a lot of stuff in Dallas. Even some all the way out to the Carolinas. So it's just not California, I'll say that much.
Yeah, that certainly does make sense. And it's so important to have that framework. And that's how my brain certainly works too, is and I don't know how you could be successful without that, without, you know, otherwise it's sort of just going by feel, which sort of feels like an old-timey approach to things, and it doesn't really make a lot of sense. So how many deals are you hoping to do in a year? Is that a criteria that is part of this?
Whew, that's a timely question. You know, between 2020, quite the educational year for so many, and that's probably the understatement of the century, because of COVID. I would say ideally we're doing at least between 4 and 6 deals a year, and that means, you know, sharing them with our investment group, often investing as often as we can alongside our investors. But one thing that we do critically importantly, that's a differentiator, I think, is that we invest with the folks that we go and we find, and often they find us now. That's usually how it works. And we get to know them, you know, we fly out and meet them and invest with them, all that stuff. And it takes about 6 months, you know, just to really get that kind of vetting completed. But 4 to 6.
How does that work, that now that people are aware of Madison Investing, that they say, you know what, we've got a project, we would like some outside money, and we've heard of these folks? How are people finding you?
Yeah. You know, and I'd say when you first start any business, I don't know if you've gone through this as well, George, but you're really like, when you're the new guy a few years ago, you're like, please take me seriously. You know, you're like, hey, I know I don't have your track record, person, but please take me seriously. So now we've just established these wonderful relationships with experienced folks, and the track record that we have built with these people is leading to referrals. And so both on the source of deal flow, in partnerships and in terms of investors that join our group and participate. Referrals are literally the number one source of our growth. And we haven't, thus far, we haven't, paid for advertising. Who's to say what's going to come in the future, but I'm just thankful that we're here to provide help and education and provide a great experience for folks, because the market is very flooded with quote unquote deals. And I think that is, it's a time of exuberance. I think a lot of folks are very excited because the market is going so well in the equities market, the stock market, all that stuff. Filtering through that is not easy. And so that's kind of what we're going for. But yeah, referrals are the way.
I like it. And how if somebody who is listening, they're interested in learning more, how are people engaging with you?
Yeah, really, our website is the primary. Is at madisoninvesting.com. So folks can, go there, just read up on what we do, and they can sign up for our newsletter if they'd like. When they put their information into it, also gives them an option to book time on my calendar personally. And usually it's pretty readily available. If we have an opportunity open right now, so it's a little bit more crowded, but usually it's within the next, one to three business days. And so I'm also on LinkedIn. Try to stay pretty active on there as well. But I post pretty nerdy stuff about real estate and occasionally some bad dad jokes, so they will have to tolerate that.
I appreciate a good or a bad dad joke as well, Spencer. So don't ever apologize, man.
The bad ones are the good ones.
Well, that's exactly. Well, Spencer, the people are ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
Gosh, I'm going to have to look to wrap it in a book. I think that Essentialism by Greg McKeown, in the current world that we are bombarded with information from every possible source. And I have read that book three times through, still remains at the top of my list. It just basically says everyone's got the same number of hours in the day, George, whether it's Oprah, Bill Gates, whoever. What you say no to, it will largely determine where you're able to focus your time and free up that availability for the right thing to say yes to. And this book literally gives you ways to say no, which is where most of us get tripped up because of social awkwardness usually, right? Like, you don't want to say no to a friend who says, hey, let's go grab coffee, when instead you could be building your dream project that could help launchpad your business or change a positive relationship or anything else like that. But that would be it.
I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on. The inability to say no, the ability to say no, that really is like a superpower, isn't it? And appreciating, understanding what your time is worth and coming to the realization that it's so finite. And if I make a decision to dedicate attention, time, money to this, then I can't do it to other things. So I think that's really well said. Appreciate it. Well, Spencer, I appreciate you coming on. Give us the website again.
Yeah. Thank you, George. This has been awesome. It's at madisoninvesting.com.
Perfect.
Come join.
Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Spencer your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to madisoninvesting.com. Check out all the great resources they've got on the site and grab a spot on Spencer's calendar and find out if there's an opportunity to work together. Find him on LinkedIn for amazing dad jokes as well. Thanks again, Spencer.
Thanks so much, George. It has been a blast.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight. We are all in this together.